Statement of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Yesterday, 22 May 1893, when I asked Deputy Abdullah Atam about the divinity of the Messiah, I mentioned 9 points that needed to be answered. At the very beginning, I had written that it would be compulsory and required for the parties to write their questions and answers, referencing their own revealed books. Then, together with this, it was also written that every argument, meaning logical argument and claim in support of which that argument is presented, must be done by giving a reference and statement from one's respective book. My purpose in this was that in this way each book would be put to the test as to whether this miraculous power is to be found in them or not. Since 1300 years have passed, for example, since the noble Quran was revealed, and similarly almost 1900 years have elapsed since the gospel was documented according to writings of the disciples, then under these circumstances, to place reliance exclusively on the statements that have been documented in those books will be of benefit to the individual who believes in them and considers them accurate, in addition to holding no objection to whatever meanings are ascribed to them. But if the system of reasoning and logic is included along with this, then through this system we will come to know very quickly which is the true, holy, perfect, and living word of God Almighty. Accordingly, my purport was that whichever book about which the claim is made that it is complete in itself and that it presents every grade of proof on its own, then that very book should be responsible itself for also presenting the logical arguments in support of its claims. It should not be the case that the book should be completely powerless and silent and some other person should stand up in its support. And every just person can easily understand that if the parties adopt this way of proceeding, then establishing the truth and refuting falsehood would be accomplished so very easily. I had hoped that Mr. Abdullah Atam, who has already claimed that the gospel is in fact a complete book, would also have certainly believed, along with this claim, that the gospel itself presents his claims in a logical manner, but the reply given yesterday by the aforenamed gentleman left me greatly astonished, as well as saddened that the aforementioned gentleman paid no attention to this, and instead in his 6th point, addressing me, stated, "The argument that you have presented from the Quran, I regret to say that I am still not convinced of it being revealed. When you convince me by proving it to be revealed, then its credentials will be accepted automatically." Now, every thinking person can reflect, when was it my wish that he should accept everything stated in the Holy Quran without investigation? I had merely written, that is to say, my intent was, that the logical arguments which are presented by the parties should not be their own conceived contrivances put forth, but rather, the book that has made a claim to be complete, that claim, too, should be proven in detail, and moreover, that book itself should present the logical proof needed to establish this claim. Thus, by following this procedure, the book that in the end is proven to prevail shall have established this miraculous power for itself. Since the Holy Quran clearly claims that it is a complete book, as it states, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And as it states again at another place, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. The translation of these 2 verses is as follows. This day have I perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you. And this Quran guides towards a straight and perfect path. That is to say, it is complete in providing guidance and it contains everything that is required for guidance by way of logical arguments and heavenly blessings. The Christian gentleman think that the gospel is a complete book, and all the requirements of guidance are present in the gospel. So this being the case, it is thus necessary to see who is true in their claim. Accordingly, the logical arguments about the divinity of the Messiah should also have been presented from the gospel, just as the Noble Quran presents arguments, logical as well as other arguments by virtue of the divine light and blessings, etc., that it contains, in refutation of the divinity of Jesus the Messiah. So I hope now that Mr. Abdullah Atham would have understood the purpose of my question, and thus in accord with this purpose, he shall present such proofs and arguments based on the power and strength of the gospel and not from himself. And whosoever from us, both parties, presents any logical argument or a claim from himself, such a presentation would be taken to be a sign that his book is weak and it fails to maintain within it the power and strength that a complete book should possess. It will, however, be permissible that if a book presents some logical argument in a brief, concise manner, but in such a way that no aspect of it is doubtful, and similar content and context and the same is found in other parts of the book to support the same purpose, that such argument be put forth. And although such an argument should be brief and concise, yet every party shall have the right to present the preliminaries of the argument at some length to facilitate understanding for the population at large. It shall, however, never be allowed that one should make up some argument oneself to try and help the revealed book in a way similar to the help offered to a weak and helpless man, or a corpse that is put in motion with the support of one's own arm and one's own hand. Now, the objection that Mr. Abdullah Atham has raised regarding the reasoning by induction is only due to a lack of deliberation. He says that if the argument of reasoning by induction, which the Holy Quran presents, is accepted, then it is not possible to believe the fact that Adam was born without parents, and we would also have to reject the divine attribute of Creator. It is sad that he remained unmindful of understanding that for proofs by induction, the universally accepted rule is that so long as a truth proven by inductive reasoning is not presented with a matter opposed and alien to it, the occurrence of which has also attained the status of an established fact, the truth established by inductive reasoning shall remain established and in force. For example, a human being has one head and two eyes. Yet, it would be insufficient to oppose this by merely stating that there may be some people in the world who have 10 heads and 20 eyes. Rather, such a human being should additionally be discovered somewhere and shown. From among the two parties, is anyone in denial of the fact that Adam was born without a father or mother? In addition, the practice of Allah has already been established regarding him. However, as far as the disputed issue is concerned, there is nothing that both parties have accepted to be established and proven. On the contrary, the party opposing the Christian gentleman presents from their book, that is to say, the Noble Quran, that based on inductive reasoning, the matter in dispute, that is, the divinity of Jesus, is false. Now, if this argument is not perfect and complete, then what is required from the gospel, that is to say, from the words of the Messiah, is some argument put forth to refute it, through which it is proven that the argument presented by the Holy Quran contains this weakness. Furthermore, it is self-evident that if proofs by inductive reasoning are rejected without presenting an opposing precedent, then all knowledge in science would be rendered worthless, and all research would come to a halt. For example, I inquire from Mr. Abdullah Atham that if you were to give 1,000 rupees to an employee of yours for safekeeping, and that money was placed inside a lockbox, and the key of the lock was given to the said employee, and there be no circumstances present of theft, yet said employee comes to you and presents this excuse that, sir, that money became liquid and flowed out from the lockbox, or that it became vapor and thus leaked out. Would you accept this explanation of his? You state that so long as anything does not conflict with the attributes of Allah, you will continue to consider it to be allowed and possible. But I ask you, since you have for some time served as extra assistant and handled civil and criminal cases, have you ever come across such a strange case in which this type of nonsensical excuse was accepted as satisfactory by the court and the party giving such excuse was awarded the case? Gentlemen, carefully reflect once again. It is absolutely unacceptable that a person who opposes something established through inductive reasoning should present a new assertion that is contrary to something established by inductive reasoning. And it should be accepted unless that new assertion is proven true by some precedents. And this example that you have presented, that if this is the case, we would also have to deny God's attribute of creation. I am amazed why you have brought forward this argument. What relevance is there at all of this argument here? You know, and Muslims and Christians are agreed upon the fact that the attributes of God which relate to his actions, for example, creation, etc., carry a general authority in their meaning. That is to say, it has been accepted concerning them that Allah, the Lord of glory, can employ these attributes from time immemorial and forever. For example, God Almighty created Prophet Adam without any parents. So can anyone from our two groups prove from our scripture that the power and strength of Allah Almighty to bring about birth in this way, which is established by inductive reasoning, has come to an end? In fact, the scriptures of both parties make manifest that whatsoever Allah, the Lord of glory, has brought into being, he can bring the like of it into being again. As Allah, the Lord of glory, says in the Holy Quran, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْأَلِيمُ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Meaning that, has not he who created the heavens and the earth the power to create, like all these things, other things also? Yea, he indeed has the power, and he is indeed the supreme creator, the all-knowing. That is to say, he is perfect in creating and knows how to create in every manner. Verily, his command is no more than this, that when he intends for a thing to be, and he says to it, be, and so it comes into being therewith. So holy is he in whose hand is the kingdom of all things, and to him indeed will you be brought back. Then he states at another place, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning that all praise belongs to Allah, who is Lord of all the worlds. That is to say, his lordship encompasses all the worlds. Then at another place he states, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ, meaning that he knows every way of bringing about creation. The few prophecies that Deputy Abdullah Atam has presented in support of his claim are totally against our stipulation. In our stipulation is included the statement that every single claim and argument must be presented by the revealed book itself. Moreover, Deputy Abdullah Atam Sahib is well aware that these prophecies are simply thrust upon the Messiah by way of force. They are not the caliber of prophecies that, in the first instance, the Messiah himself narrated in full, and then ascribed to his person as confirmation of his truth, and the commentators were even in agreement upon this. And furthermore, that they should be proven to be exactly so in the actual Hebrew language. Providing these proofs is your responsibility. Until you prove these things with the specified assiduousness, your statement will remain like a claim which itself needs proof, because we do not agree with you regarding the accuracy of these prophecies. nor in the accuracy of the interpretations, nor, indeed, the accuracy of the actual intent of the Messiah, yet you claim them to be accurate. Thus, it is incumbent upon you that you clarify all the steps in a perfectly crystal clear manner, so that it becomes proven that in the interpretation of these prophecies, the Jews, who are the true inheritors of the Torah, also agree with you, in addition to all the commentators. Moreover, make it clear that the Messiah too, by referencing the book, chapter, and verse of all the prophecies that you mention in full, has ascribed them to himself, and that no inheritor of the Torah has, till today, declared any disagreement with you regarding your interpretation, and has manifestly accepted the Messiah, son of Mary, whom you declare to be on the stature of God, and have accepted these as sufficient proofs for him to be accorded the stature of God. Then we shall accept this and listen with great interest to your proof. But to make clearer this very delicate issue, I remind again that till you prove all those points which I have written down without any dissension and present these together with the testimony of the Jewish scholars that the Son of Mary is God on the basis of these prophecies, these hypothetical tales will be of no use to you. The second part of this will be mentioned in response to these questions as the time is nearly up. Signature, English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, representing Muslims. Signature, English, Henry Martin Clark, President, representing Christians.